ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This morning in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, talks between Narada and King Katyayani Bharati, text number 56. Rajovacha,
Rajovacha,
Srutam. Anvikshitam Brahman Bhagavan Yad Abhashatta Naitaj Jananti Upadhyaya Kim Na Bruhyur Vidur Yadi Rajovacha Shrutam Manvikshitam Brahman Bhagavan Yadabhashata Naitajjanantyalpadhyaya Bruyurvidurjati Rajovacha Shrutam Mandikshitam Brahman Bhagavan Yadabhashata Naitajjanantya Upadhyaya Vidurjadi Rajovacha Srutam Andikshetam Brahman Bhagavan Yadavashata Naitajjanati Upadhyaya Considered. Brahman, O Brahmana,
Brahmana.
Bhagavan, the most powerful. Yet, which, Abhashata, you have spoken. Na, not. Etat, this. Jananti, do know. Upadhyaya, the teachers of fruitive activities. Kim, why? Na, bruyaha. Excuse me, bruyuhu. They did not instruct. Viduhu. They understood. Yadi. If. Translation. The king replied, "My dear Brahmana, what you have said, I have heard with great attention, and considering all of it, have come to the conclusion that the acharyas, the teachers, who engaged me in fruitive activity, did not know this confidential knowledge. If they were aware of it, why did they not explain it to me?" Srila Prabhupada's purport. Actually, the so-called teachers or leaders of material society do not really know the goal of life. They are described in Bhagavad Gita as mayaya prahita jnana. They appear to be very learned scholars. But actually the influence of the illusory energy has taken away their knowledge. Real knowledge means searching after Krishna. Vedaishya sarvaya aham eva vedyaha. All Vedic knowledge is meant for searching out Krishna, because Krishna is the origin of everything. Janmat yasya yataha. In Bhagavad Gita 10.2, Krishna says, "Aham adir hi devanam." I am the source of the demigods. Thus Krishna is the origin and beginning of all demigods, including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all others. The Vedic ritualistic ceremonies are concerned with satisfying different demigods. But unless one is very advanced, he cannot understand that the original personality is Sri Krishna. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. After hearing the instructions of Narada, King Bahishman came to his senses. The real goal of life is to attain devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The king therefore decided to reject the so-called priestly orders that simply engage their followers in the ritualistic ceremonies without giving effective instructions about the goal of life. At the present moment, the churches, temples, and mosques all over the world are not attracting people because foolish priests cannot elevate their followers to the platform of knowledge. Not being aware of the real goal of life, they simply keep their congregations in ignorance. Consequently, those who are well educated have become uninterested in the ritualistic ceremonies. At the same time, they are not benefited with real knowledge. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore very important for the enlightenment of all classes. Following in the footsteps of Maharaj Bahishman, everyone should take advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement and abandon the stereotyped ritualistic ceremonies that go under the garb of so many religions. The Goswamis, from the very beginning, differed from the priestly class that was engaged in ritualistic ceremonies. Indeed, Srila Sanatan Goswami compiled his Hari Bhakti Vilas for the guidance of the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas, not caring for the lifeless activities of the priestly classes, take to full Krishna consciousness and become perfect in this very life. That is described in the previous verse as Paramahamsa Sharanam, taking shelter of the Paramahamsas, the liberated soul, and becoming successful in this life. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschachade Shatarane Om Gyanam Timaram Dasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksuru Miritam Jainam Tarasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vansha Kalpa Trupyas Chakripa Sindhu Veva Chapatipanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namaha. Could somebody just go into my room? On the desk is a computer. Just unplug the computer and bring it here. Prabhupada, the important thing here is he thanks the Narada Muni, the addressing him as Raman Bhagavan, for having told him the allegory, the story of King Paranjana. And in this chapter, he's been telling him the purport of the story, what everything means. And King Paranjana was a person who was absorbed in performing Vedic sacrifices, killing large numbers of animals for elevation to the heavenly planets. And all this takes place under the guidance of Brahmanas, who are directing him to do this. So Narada Muni, representing another, you might say, branch of Vedic knowledge, now teaches him how to reject all that and turn toward transcendence. Thank you. I'm going to find something here that you are sort of interesting in this context. It just occurred to me, otherwise I would have had this ready here. I'll find it for you. Just take a second. There's a conversation Prabhupada had with you'll see. So this basically what's happened here in the Bhagavatam is what also Krishna does in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. When he begins to recommend to Arjuna the path of Buddhi Yoga. And that path of Buddhi Yoga, he contrasts it with those people he calls the Veda Vadarata. Those who are devoted to the teachings of the Vedas but do not understand them. They perform the sacrifices very rigidly, and by the way, to perform a Vedic sacrifice you have to be extremely well educated. It's not something that a stupid person can master. First of all, you have to memorize huge volumes of mantras and be able to repeat them exactly. One reason that Vedic sacrifices, that real Vedic sacrifices, have just in the last 50 years in India completely stopped being performed. There were ritualistic brahmanas up until a little while ago. I know some professors who have gone to India to study them because they knew it was vanishing. The people who perform the rigid karma kanda sacrifices. It's controversial even in India because they kill so many animals and the Hindus protest. But somehow or other they survive so many things. They survive Buddhism. But now they're being killed off by the modern world. And the reason is that the sons of the brahmanas, who are intelligent, do not spend the time and effort with their brains to learn how to perform the sacrifices. Instead, they go to America or someplace and study computer technology. So it's finished. And I heard some scholars talking about this. So they're trying to record these sacrifices. They haven't been trying to record them, why they last. Even one scholar, Professor Stahl, J.F. Stahl, the Prabhupada had an interesting correspondence with him. He's famous for having paid the money to have a big sacrifice performed. He was the Yajamana, you know, the patron of the sacrifice, just so he could film it and everything. So they're finished now in that sense. Of course, they've been replaced by other things on the platform of karma kanda. That is to say, the temple worship of the demigods. The demigods are also worshipped and sacrificed, but it's a different way. But then they're replaced by temple worship and puja. Upasana kanda, this is called the part of the Vedas. People are still doing these things for fruitive activities. Anyway, this path of performing religion for material enjoyment, yeah, right away from the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna rejects it. He says, these people, they say, there's nothing more than this, so they don't understand the Vedas. And neither can they take up this path of Buddha Yoga because they are attached to Bhoga and Aishvarya. The material enjoyment and opulence. And therefore, what's required for the path of Buddha Yoga or Krishna consciousness, this Vyavasa Atmika Buddhi, this determined and fixed intelligence, it does not take place in them. So in that chapter, he urges Arjuna to rise above the Vedas. The Vedas deal with the three modes of material nature. Mainly, so you should rise above them. Here's Krishna, Veda Vit, who brings the Vedas to the world, rejecting the Vedas. Well, not entirely, of course, but the karma kanda portion of the Vedas. Now you must go to this, understand the real meaning of the Vedas. And that's what the Bhagavad Gita is about. What is the meaning of the Vedas? What is the real meaning? Well, people don't understand. The Vedas teach so many different things because it's the Vedas describe like a kalpa vriksha, a desire tree, so you can get any fruit you want. But still, there's one supreme fruit, which is given in the Bhagavatam, which is called the ripened fruit or the Vedic tree of knowledge. So people don't understand what the Vedas teach, and that's what the Bhagavad Gita is for. To go through all different, to go through sacrifices. So much time is spent in the Bhagavad Gita trying to understand what is the real meaning of sacrifice. Second chapter, third chapter, fourth chapter. Every time it goes around and talks about sacrifice. So that we find out that if you really understand sacrifice, you really know what sacrifice is about, you actually can understand Krishna consciousness. That sacrifice, actually, if it's understood, is all the purposes of that and its real meaning is understood by devotional service to Krishna. How do you understand the meaning of sacrifice? Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. If you really understand tadvidi, to know that, tat is that. What does that refer to in the context of this Bhagavad Gita? Knowledge of sacrifice. To understand, really understand knowledge of sacrifice, you have to approach the tattva darshan, those who know the truth, and they will show you the real meaning of sacrifice. And what will you know when you've understood it? That all living beings are in me and they are mine. You'll come to the point of Krishna consciousness. So that's analyzed in the Bhagavad Gita. This verse also mentions the demigods. And here Prabhupada quotes, Aham Adir Hi Devana, I am the source of the demigods. You can go directly to Krishna. You don't have to worship the demigods. And anyway, people are doing it to satisfy their material desires. They're stupid. Alpa medasam. Hritta jnana, deprived of knowledge. So Krishna also criticizes the worship of the demigods for that purpose, for bhoga and aishwarya, for sense gratification, for material enjoyment. Anyway, in the Bhagavad Gita, so many things are discussed. Yoga. What is the goal of yoga? What does it mean to renounce work? What is real knowledge? All different. It's like a survey of all different paths in the Vedas. And Krishna then announces clearly, which Prabhupada quotes here, Vedaishta sarva aham eva vejaha. All the Vedas are simply meant for knowing me. They're just searching after me. And therefore we're prepared for the conclusion. Sarva dharman puritjaja mamekam saranam bhaja. You can't, please give up all these dharmas. We've looked at all these different dharmas in the Vedas. So now you can just give them up, make a quick work of it. Prabhupada says this one time, commenting on this verse, make a quick work of it. Mamekam saranam bhaja, and come to me directly for shelter. So sometimes that looks impious, huh? Because here, the king has to reject his priests. We also get accused of that sometimes. I remember when some young lady was joining the temple and her parents sent in a cousin to talk to her, and she came with a Bible and she says, the Bible says, honor your father and mother. But when you come to this Hare Krishna temple, your father and mother are very upset. So you're committing a sin. Uh-huh. Krishna understands that. Therefore he says, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami. If you think that by surrendering to me you'll commit a sin, you don't obey your parents, certainly that's normally considered a sinful activity in civilized societies anyway. You don't obey your parents, you reject your teachers or your guru. If you think that's a sin, don't worry, I'll protect you. You can do it. This verse reminds me of this. Let me see where I've got it from. Here, just give me a second. Excuse me. Here. eyes as you go out inside. What I want to get for you is a conversation Prabhupada had about an Indian spiritual leader. In Vinod Bhave. Vinod Bhave was the kind of successor to Gandhi, you know, Mahatma Gandhi, and he had people who followed him after him, and Vinod Bhave was one of them, and he became kind of the spiritual teacher of the Indian Congress Party. The Congress Party was in power for a very, very long time. Indira Gandhi was in power. She used to go to Vinod Bhave for guidance and direction. Her guru, like that. So this conversation starts when. Oh, why can't I find this? I was just looking at it. Oh, here we go. Yeah, good. So this morning, this is a morning walk in Bombay. Here it is. January 1977 in Bombay. Prabhupada's saying, there's a friend of Prabhupada he used to do these morning walks with called Dr. Patel. And Dr. Patel would always kind of argue with Srila Prabhupada. They would go on and on and on. This famous one when Dr. Patel was talking Mayavad philosophy and saying it's all one. The Prabhupada grabbed his shirt and held it like this. He says, "Oh, why don't you wear a cotton ball instead of a shirt if it's all one?" But somehow they really like each other. So he's on this morning walk. So Prabhupada is mentioning to Dr. Patel that he heard from Giriraj Maharaj, or Giriraj, that Vinod Bhave announced that he's going to retire. And Prabhupada says, "Completely, and now I shall endeavor for moksha." So that's Vinod Bhave. For years now, he was a guru for everything. He says, "Now I'm going to retire and endeavor for moksha." Then Prabhupada says, "So that means, till now, he was not on the liberated platform." And then somebody says, "Well, Vinod Bhave is a real Brahmin. He's truly a Brahmana." Prabhupada said, "Yes, I know that. That may be. Brahmana is sattva guru. That may be. But that does not mean liberation. There is knowledge. At least he understands what liberation is and what is not." And Dr. Patel says, "Knowledge put into practice is vijnana." Then Prabhupada said, "So if he's trying to become liberated, it is understood that he was not liberated." And then Dr. Patel, again, he kind of misses the point. He may have been disillusioned by all this. That is to say, all this politics and stuff. He has really done work in this way. Anybody would become disillusioned. The Prabhupada says, no, our point is that if you are not liberated, how you can become leader? That is cheating. And Patel says something that's a little indistinct. And Prabhupada says, our point is that if you do not get knowledge from liberated person, that knowledge is useless. That is cheating. I'm bringing this up because in the purport here, Prabhupada refers that one must take a shelter of the Paramahamsa Sharanam. One must take shelter of the Paramahamsas or liberated souls. One must turn from these teachers, although they may be Brahmanas. Still they don't know the truth. One has to take shelter of liberated souls. This is his point here. So now Prabhupada continues. It is very easy. He's talking about being liberated, actually. He said it is very easy. Just like a child, if he takes your direction, he is liberated. And if he acts according to his childish nature, then he's conditioned. If you take Krishna's instructions, then you are liberated. If you manufacture your own idea, then you are conditioned. But here Prabhupada's giving from his point of view, what's the difference between being liberated and conditioned? So liberated means you, as he says here, if you take Krishna's instruction, then you are liberated. If you manufacture your own idea, then you are conditioned. Two things. Child is not actually liberated, he is child. But because he takes blindly the direction of the father, he is liberated. That is, mam eva ye prapadyante. Krishna says that they surrender to me. Anyone who has surrendered to Krishna and strictly follows what Krishna says, then he's liberated. Otherwise, not. If he manufactures idea, then he's conditioned. Dr. Patel says, it is what? Sarvadharman parijaja? Prabhupada, yes, and it is very easy. And he says, henceforward, I shall simply follow what Krishna says. That's all. You become liberated immediately. It is 1 minute's task. Simply to decide. No more my concoction, my imagination. Then he's liberated. Then Dr. Patel says, but this decision, all these things is done by the mind, which has got the vartmas of the past verse. Vartma means impressions in the mind from your previous karma. He's got the vartmas from the past birth. So he's objecting. How is it a minute's business? He says, because of the mind. Yeah, thank you. Hare Krishna. Oh, it's nice. Prabhupada says, mind may be. It's like Prabhupada. Mind may be. But if I ask the mind that you cannot do anything except what Krishna says, then you are liberated. Very easy, you see. We are doing the same thing. By we, he means himself. He's speaking in the kind of royal we or the editorial we. But we are doing the same thing. We are not liberated. I am not liberated. Then he says, I am not liberated. But I am presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is. That's all. That's my doing. So here Prabhupada doesn't even want to say for himself. The judgment, whether I'm liberated or not, is what am I doing? Huh? Prabhupada says, so that verse is very important, that mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. As you become fully surrendered to Krishna, you are liberated. Not that liberated means one has to grow four hands and eight legs. No, simply you have to change the consciousness that henceforward I shall act only as directed by Krishna. That's all. You are liberated. It is 1 minute's work, Dr. Patel says. How do you get that direction moment by moment, hour by hour? That is to do what Krishna says. Listen to Prabhupada's answer. By his representative, by his words, they are present. That is to say, the order of Krishna. By his representative, by his words, they are present. Where is the difficulty to get his direction? Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena. One who has seen, one who has understood Krishna, take direction from him. He is my representative. If you get the right guru, then you are liberated. If you follow direction, if you want to please him, yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, then you are liberated. Otherwise, what is the meaning of this? Mam eva ye prapadyante. You know this verse, huh? Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya dharatya. This three modes of material nature, this energy of mind, very difficult to cross. Very difficult. But mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. But if those who surrender to me, mayameta, they cross over it. He says so. There's no need waiting for liberation. As soon as one surrenders to me, he is immediately above the platform of Maya. Aham tam sarva pape bio moksha yashami Hare Krishna. So what was the Vinod Bhave statement published in the paper? He says to Giriraj. Goes back to Vinod Bhave then. That he's not going to give any more public lectures and he's not going to give any more advice to any institutions. Prabhupada. But now he's thinking that it is useless. Otherwise, why would he say like that? And moksha, he's going to try for moksha. Giriraj, yes, he's saying that by reducing these activities, he wants to get moksha. Prabhupada, so our point is that if he was not on the platform of moksha, liberation, why did he waste his time by spoiling himself and for spoiling others? Now he's come to his senses. It is good. But it is to be understood that he simply spoiled his time and spoiled others' career by misleading them. Thus, without being liberated, nobody can guide anyone. That is useless. That is under yantandair upaniyamanaha, the blind leading the blind. If you have no eyes, then how can you lead others? You are blind, and they are blind. And what is the use of becoming their leaders? Actually, all the so-called leaders and scholars, they are blind themselves, and they have become big, big leaders. That is the misfortune of the present life. I mean, look who's leading us. I mean, I come from America, you know. I have to say. And by the way, our President Bush, you know, he takes instructions from religious people. He does. He's like, he thinks he was chosen by Jesus. And people are telling him, you know, he goes to these people. So Prabhupada continues, that is the misfortune of the present life. And therefore, our proposition is You take direction from Krishna and his representative. That's all. That will help you. Try to understand this point. Our system, parampara system, is that I am just like disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. I don't say that I am liberated. I am conditioned. But because I am following the instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta, I am liberated. This is the distinction between conditioned and liberated. When one is under the direction of a liberated person, the same idea, electricity. So now he's going to give an example. When one's under the direction of a liberated person, the copper is not electricity. Well, you copper, you know, a wire that carries electricity is made from copper. The copper is not electricity. But when it is charged with electricity, if it is touched, that is electricity. It will shock you. And similarly, this parampara system, the electricity is going. If you cut the parampara system, there's no electricity. Therefore, it is stressed so much. Sakala neha mahata yoga nasta parantapa. The electricity is lost. Krishna says in the fourth chapter, this teaching was handed down by the Rajarsis one after another. Parampara, the word parampara means one after another. That's all it means, parampara, one after another. And that's the system. There's Krishna at the beginning. That's the source of the electricity, the liberating energy. And then it is passed down by through those who are surrendered to him. It's a simple thing. Those who follow his instructions, it is passed down. So when it is cut, the electricity is lost. So then he goes on. These people, they do not know. Now at the fag end of life. Fag end means a rope, the loose end of a rope. You have to tie up to keep it from unraveling. So that it's an expression from the Navy or something, a nautical expression, the fag end of life. They're thinking, if intelligent person that, what have I have done actually? Is Vinod Bhave again. He's intelligent, he's at the end of his life, and now he's thinking, what have I done actually? If one has sense, he should come to this understanding. And then he says, by cutting some, what is that, dead trees? The civil disobedience began by cutting dead trees, is it not? I don't know exactly what that was. In India, there were certain activities prohibited by the British. I don't know about the dead trees, but there, it was not allowed that you could make salt. Because it was a colony, and the colony meant that certain things were reserved for the government. Just like Prabhupada says.
Papa.
Well, you better leave that alone. It's your mother's. She'll take this. Prabhupada talks about how, in order to make India import Manchester, in order to make the people buy the English manufactured cloth, they stop the weavers in Bengal from weaving by cutting off the thumbs. So somehow you couldn't make salt. So Gandhi's famous thing was leading a march to the sea and get there and then you evaporate the water and you make salt. So there was something with dead trees like that. The civil disobedience. The civil disobedience began by cutting dead trees, is it not? Vinod Bhave, he began his leadership 40 years ago by cutting. Gandhi also. So Prabhupada says, so this kind of leadership might have been little enthusiasm for the time being, but actually, what do the people gain by such leadership? He went into this discussion.
Papa.
So this is his discussion about liberated soul. This isn't the only time that Prabhupada said something like that. By the way, I have a few other places if you're interested. Just like in 1968, in a Bhagavad Gita lecture, this devotee is concerned that in the ashram, there are leaders who are people in our movement who are not pure. They're not pure devotees yet. Yet I have to take instructions from them. Prabhupada says, yes, they're also pure devotees because they're following my instruction. Just like a technician, he's expert, but somebody's assisting him. So the assistants, because they are following the instruction of the expert, therefore their work is also complete. So it is not necessary that one has to become pure devotee immediately. Well, he's saying, I think he says the same thing. Just like we are also following the instruction of our spiritual master. I don't claim that I am pure devotee or perfect, but my only qualification is that I am trying to follow the instruction of the perfect. This is called the disciplic succession. So, see, Prabhupada gives the same thing. This is in 68. So over 10 years later, he's saying the same thing. So then he goes on. Just like here, it is stated, he's got the Bhagavad Gita in front of him, that Krishna is the original spiritual master, and Arjuna is the original student. So Arjuna says that Saravam etat ritam manye tad vadasi keshavaha. My dear Krishna, whatever you are saying, I accept in toto, that is, completely. Whatever you say, I accept as true. Right? That's in the 10th chapter, verse 14. Just like Dr. Radhakrishnan says, it is not through Krishna, it is something else. When Prabhupada was first giving these lectures in 68, his own Bhagavad Gita translation commentary wasn't finished. Didn't have it. So he was lecturing from the translation with commentary by Dr. Radhakrishnan, very famous scholar, and also at one time the president of India. That's a kind of ceremonial post, but still it's important. So Dr. Radhakrishnan had translated and commented on the Bhagavad Gita. And so Prabhupada, the translation Prabhupada thought was pretty good. But many times he had to preach against the commentary. And the very famous one, where Krishna says, Manmana bhavabhat mad bhakto madhyayi mam namaskaru. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your obeisances to me. Dr. Radhakrishnan says in his commentary, it is not to Krishna the person we have to surrender, but to that which is unborn within Krishna. So the text says, person, manmano bhava madbhakto mam yai mam namaskaru mam evam yai, so on. Mam, 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 mam. This is the personal pronoun. Me. And he says, no, not to him. But to that which is unborn within Krishna. So Krishna says one thing, and in the commentary, Dr. Radhakrishnan says, don't surrender to Krishna. So this was really famous that Prabhupada was there. So Krishna says, so that's why he's mentioning Dr. Radhakrishnan. He does not accept in that way. That is to say, Arjuna. Arjuna doesn't accept in that way. He says, whatever you are saying, I accept it. You are saying that you are the Supreme, I accept it. I don't say you have got a separate thing within. Like Radha Krishna. That is Supreme. That separate thing, that is Supreme. You are not Supreme as person. This is impersonalist. But Prabhupada says a few things about that. What he's saying is, I am different from my body. The soul is different from the body, but Krishna has no such differentiation. When it comes to Krishna, there's no different from inside and outside. It's because he's a spiritual person. So in the spiritual body, the soul and the body and the mind and the mind and the soul, they're one. But Krishna is not an embodied, conditioned soul. So Krishna has no such differentiation. He, that is to say Radha Krishna, doesn't know that. Because he's not following Krishna, the perfect spiritual master. He's following some rascal spiritual master, therefore he has made this mistake. But if we follow Arjuna and Krishna, then we get the perfect knowledge. We may not be 100% perfect, that 100% perfect. But as far as possible, if we follow the instruction as it is, that much perfect. In this way, one will get perfection. So, one has to follow. The same example, try to understand. Expert technologist or technician or mechanic is working and somebody is working under his instruction. So this somebody, because he's strictly working under the instruction of the expert, he's also expert. He may not be 100% expert, but his work is expert. Is that clear? Because he's working under the expert. Do you follow? So if you follow the pure devotee, then you are also pure devotee. It may not be one is 100% pure. Because we are trying to raise ourselves from the conditioned life. But if we strictly follow the pure devotee, then we are also pure devotee. So pure devotee does not mean one has to become immediately 100%, 100% pure. But if one sticks to the principle, we follow a pure devotee, then he's as good as a pure devotee. But what Prabhupada is saying is that I may not be 100% pure. So let us say that means that in my mind there are material desires. I'm trying to become free from those material desires, but those, they're making a noise and clamoring for attention and so on. But they do not control my activities. My mental activities, my speech, the activities of my senses, they are controlled by the order of the spiritual master. So even though I'm not liberated, if I'm strictly following the instructions of the spiritual master, the instructions of Krishna, then all my actions are liberated. So this is what Prabhupada is saying. He goes on about this. So that's why, in a way, you see this idea of being liberated or being perfect, in one sense, is not so remote. As Prabhupada said, it's true, it's a 1 minute business. One simply has to decide, how will my actions be controlled? Maya may be there trying to control my actions, but I reject the directions of Maya. Instead, I accept the directions of the spiritual master. I accept the directions of Krishna. In Parampara system, then perfectly capable of giving guidance or direction and being guided by Krishna. When one becomes guided by Krishna. Any questions or comments? Anyone? Yeah.
So we want to yak just begin. How is it that by performing a yajna and attaining self-realization, it's just this realization by giving up all this stuff?
How by performing a yajna?
How that by performing a yajna one attains self-realization in
Yeah, you can do it. Yeah, you can do it. You have to understand the yajna. Krishna explains this actually in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, how the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. So you perform sacrifice. By that performing sacrifice, you are now related with the demigods. You are receiving so many material goods. Let us say you're attached to those goods, but because you're pious, you're grateful, you understand that they're coming from the devatas, and so you are situated in properly situated. Now, when you perform yajna, also you worship Vishnu, because he's the yajna purusha. And Bhakti, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that when anyone performs a Vedic ritualistic sacrifice, he must worship Vishnu. So he says there's a tinge of bhakti, there's a little bit of bhakti in there. So also they're worshipping Vishnu also. Then if you become a little detached, if you follow the instruction, that's also there that you should actually perform yajna without attachment to the results. And you have to begin to have to follow that instruction. Gradually, if you understand sacrifice and the meaning of sacrifice, you get deep into the and that you start to perform the sacrifice and understand sacrifice, not just for fruit of result, but the pursuit of knowledge. In other words, you can form the rituals without really understanding them deeply, just for the result. But if you begin to study the rituals, and you begin to study the mantras, and you begin to seek what is sacrifice doing and what is really going on, you'll gradually come to the understanding of Brahman. And then in the fourth chapter, in discussing sacrifice, Krishna says, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmana Hutam, and so on. That when the sacrifice is performed, everything that's involved in the sacrifice is Brahman. The offering, the butter, what you're putting into the fire itself, the performers, the sponsor, all are Brahman in sacrifice. And if Prabhupada calls this the general principle of Krishna consciousness, that material things of this world dedicated to the service of Krishna, sacrifice means to act for the sake of Krishna, dedicated service of Krishna regains their spiritual quality. So you can. So therefore, that's how. If you really follow the Vedic sacrifices, it leads you on gradually to Krishna consciousness. Now, there are a whole school of thought in the Vedas that have, in which this progress has been blocked. This is one of the darshans called Karma Mamamsa. This philosophy came up from the priests who are doing sacrifice. Now the word karma means ritualistic action and sacrifice. That's another meaning of the word karma. Sacrificial action. Action that's dedicated, what you should do is there in the Vedas. You perform the Karma Mamamsa. And they came to the conclusion, ultimately, that karma, that is their acts of performing sacrifice, that is all powerful. In other words, you perform sacrifice really correctly. You're a really good brahmana. You keep yourself pure according to the brahminical standards. You say your mantras perfectly correctly. You do sacrifice with all this technical perfection. The altar is exactly made exactly right, done, put in the right place. You have the sacrifice at the right time. You say the right mantras. You do everything technically perfect. The result comes. So you start to say, wow, look what we can do. See, it's kind of like modern science. It's a cult of technique. And the technicians think, oh, we're all powerful. And then, so the karma mamamsa people say, well, when you say, when you offer and sacrifice, you're saying the names of God, or gods. In the dative case, Krishnaya, Govindaya, see, unto Krishna, under Govinda, Indraya, Chandraya, you know, all the names of the demigods are there. And one karma mamamsa philosophy says, they are just names in the dative case. That's all. In other words, they don't do anything. If the demigods are there, they have to give the result. Because they're also bound by sacrifice. And so God or the gods, they become irrelevant. This is the karma mamamsa philosophy. We have heard Krishna preach this to himself, preach it to his father in order to stop the Indra Yajna. So if you want to see it, there it is. Why do we have to offer? It is karma that does everything and so on. So that's particularly what Krishna is referring to. They say there's nothing more than this. So if you have that attitude, you do not learn the meaning of sacrifice, and it becomes a dead end. See, there's a path of advancement in the Vedas, but people sometimes become stuck in various places. People are practicing Jnana Yoga, and they become stuck. If you really develop Jnana, Mam Prapajyate, he surrenders to me. But there are many people who have stopped in one place, and they say this is all there is. So that's what happens to the Jnanis. So this can happen on the spiritual path. So there's a ladder. The Bhagavad Gita is called the Yoga Ladder. Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. But if you can't get stopped in some place, and you know, then you don't reach the end. So the idea of the Bhagavad Gita, a real teacher, is to keep the progress going. So sacrifice also, that's why the whole discussion is there in the fourth chapter about the meaning of sacrifice. So you'll see that what is actually supposed to learn. So it's not that sacrifice is rejected, but it just has to be understood properly. Okay?
And actually something connected with this, that's also on my mind for quite some time. How is it that by changing the relate, why is it the devotional service? If you do it in kirtan, then other people hear it. And this third Krishna is this way. But when we change japa, is it that the only thing that Krishna likes to hear his name, God wants, isn't it? That everybody likes him.
Yeah, he likes to hear his name.
Something else?
No, it's your service to Krishna. Because you're establishing a relationship with Krishna. You're establishing a relationship with Krishna. So this is how, because it's not just that you're saying his name. You're calling. Ainanda chnuja kinkaram patita mam vishame bhavamudo. Oh, son of Nanda, I'm your servant. But now I'm in this rough ocean of material existence. Please pick me up. That's what you're asking. You're asking, come back. Please accept me as your devotee. I feel terrible. I've turned away from you. I've come to this material world. I've done this unspeakable thing, but still, I can still chant your name. You sent this lifeline out to pick me up. So please, pick me up. So what are we asking for? We're asking to be engaged in the service. And then after we are connected in this way by asking sincerely, that also becomes service. The Holy Name gradually unfolds, and our relationship with the Holy Name gradually unfolds. So that by chanting the Holy Name, you can perform just by chanting. Within that, all service to Krishna is there. There's a book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Bhajana Rahasya. And he points out that the Holy Name, the Hare Krishna mantra, has eight pairs of names. And the first thing he points out is that each pair indicates a verse of the Shishastika prayers. So the first Hare Krishna indicates the first verse of the Shishastika prayers, the second Hare Krishna, the second verse, and so on. And therefore that's how he does a meditation on the Shishastika prayers in these eight chapters. Each one, and also each of the Shishastika prayers indicates a stage of progress and advancement toward full Krishna consciousness. I mean, the first of the prayer, the stage of Shraddha. The second prayer, a clearing up of offenses while chanting in the association of devotees. The third, Nishtha, steadiness. Kirtaniya Sadahari. The fourth, Ruchi, a taste for the activities of Krishna consciousness, far superior to any material thing. Nandanam na janana sundarim kavitamba. I don't want these, son. The fourth, asakta, asakti, being addicted to Krishna. The fifth, bhava, and the last two kinds of prema. Prema in separation and prema in union. That's the whole, from beginning to end, it's all in the Shishastika prayers. And so actually so that's also indicated by the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then Krishna's day is divided into eight 3-hour segments. Each three-hour segment is called a yama or kala. Astakalya bhajan is another way of that if you could have books. Govinda Lilamrita is one of them, which take Krishna's 24-hour day and divide it into these eight segments: late at night, early morning, early dawn, early morning, midday, afternoon, evening, so on. All these eight, and it describes Krishna's regular pastimes during those eight 24-hour cycle. So, of course, this is with Radha and Krishna. He goes to the forest, they may have secret meeting, she makes him breakfast, all these different things are there. So he says, at the end of each of the chapters dealing with each pair of names and the Shishastika prayer, he puts each meditation beginning with late night. So that what he's indicating is that by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, you can also not only meditate on but engage in Krishna's Astakalya Leela pastimes just by chanting. That's in there also. So the Hare Krishna mantra is none different from Krishna. And by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we enter into Krishna's service. And there's a revelation. First, the name is revealed. Gradually, like the sun rising. At first we see the Namabhasa, the dawning light of the name. and then the name itself is revealed. Otherwise, when we're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the real name is, we're chanting the name, but we don't understand it yet. Its meaning has not been revealed. So first the name is revealed. Then Krishna's form is revealed. Nama, Rupa, Guna. Then Krishna's qualities are revealed. Then Krishna's Leela revealed. Oh, actually everything is there. It's service. It's service to Krishna. Another aspect of that service is we give it to others. So we do our japa, that's ourselves and Krishna, that's private meditation. Although we also do that in association with devotees. Prabhupada, we recommendation is we come in the temple room. Actually, the real thing is we're chanting in front of Tulsi. Here we are following some examples set by Haridas Thakur. That Prabhupada says that to chant a regular number of rounds in front of Tulsi Devi is immensely potent. So chanting in front of Tulsi is also part of our process. But then we become purified that way, so that when we chant in Kirtan and in Sankirtan with the outside public, then we're more potent. We have more appreciation for the name, and the potency of the name increases. So we're devotees. The more we become Krishna conscious, the more we can also give Krishna conscious to others. So if we're engaged in the Sankirtan movement, there's nothing selfish. Prabhupada's instructions are you become Krishna conscious yourself and you give it to others. Oh, if we want to give it to others, we should also. Yeah, we need to become Krishna conscious ourselves. So I don't think it's not devotional. Chanting by yourself, japa, is also devotional service. It's a very important part of devotional service. It's not usually the only thing that we do, but it's devotional service to Krishna too. Okay? It's gotten late. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Kijan. What?